Tom McCarthy joins us, the TV voice of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tommy, you've been on with us before. Nice to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. Boy, listening a little bit to you just talking about the Phillies, and it's interesting because they're athletes. And as Giant fans, we're dying for athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, they're slow and this and that. And we look at the Phillies, they can do everything. They can run, and they're athletes, but they don't play great baseball yet.
Well, and I think that's part of their youth. You know, they're the youngest team in all of baseball, and it shows sometimes. Marty, I think I told you this the other day. It is one of the best clubhouses that I've been around, from minor league baseball to major league baseball. Great kids, very accessible, want to talk, want to be good. But, you know, this is a lot of the players that are up here right now are from the previous regime, the previous front office regime. They're getting a golden opportunity to perform at a very young age.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can see the battle scars. Sometimes you can see the youthful battle scars. So it's a work in progress. There is a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel because of their youth and also because of our payroll. You know, when we were winning division crowns, we won five straight, won the World Series in 08, the pennant in 08 and 09. Our payroll was well over $100 million. Our payroll is around $30 million right
that's
now.
That's it?
We're 39, I guess, with some of
Come
the
on.
Other dollars.
Wow, that's like lunch for us.
Well, but in all seriousness, you know, they're ready to spend.
Yeah.
But it's also...
That's it? Holy cow.
Yeah,
I bet you the A's have a higher payroll than that.
Yeah, it's the on the field payroll.
I mean,
there's money that's being given off
to
Ryan Howard for his option and things like that. But still, I mean, from on-the-field payroll, it's a pretty limited payroll. So if this doesn't work out with a lot of these younger players, and some will work out, they're ready to go out into the free agent market. The feeling is, though, over the last couple of years, in reality, that the money has been spent to refurbish the farm system, to refurbish the scouting department, to refurbish the sabermetric department. There's a whole department now of sabermetrics at the Phillies. There never was anything. There was one person basically before, and now there's a staff of more than a dozen.
Wow.
So that's where the money's going right now, to then build the infrastructure to then hopefully, when they contend for a long time. It's hard to be patient as fans. For us, we kind of know what's going on, so it's okay. But it's hard to be patient for fans, and Philadelphia fans are not the quietest of fans. So,
no, they're not.
And you know, they want a winner. I mean, that ballpark is beautiful when it's packed.
Yeah.
It's still beautiful when there's 20,000, but it's not as beautiful. And yeah, quite frankly, there's years where this division has been up for grabs the last couple of years. So this year, not so much. But I think that they're ready to, you know, keep this building process going. It just depends on which one of these players is going to be on the field.
Yeah, I guess the Houston Astros set the template for being a poor team long enough to where
they
can get all these studs up. I'd imagine Giants fans, and we all can see that Ruben Amaro Jr., he maybe kept the veteran stars around too long, and Giants fans are like, are we doing that with the Giants? What do you think, having watched the Giants in Philadelphia and then a couple times here so far?
You know, it's interesting because I still think Hunter Pence is playing at the top of his game. I mean, he might, you know, he might be, you know, getting older, but his game is still the same. I mean, he's in top 10 in hitting. You know, maybe the power numbers aren't where they were a couple of years ago. You know, they may have waited longer with Hunter Pence because he's been off the field so much with injuries. I just love watching him play. There is that – you have to be careful because, you know, Ruben's hands were kind of tied a little bit, too, with some of these contracts because – There was a loyalty that the whole organization wanted to pay to Jimmy Rollins and to Ryan. No, not so much Ryan Howard, because his contract was signed before the Achilles injury. That changed everything. The Achilles injury changed everything for him.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for that Achilles injury, in my mind, he probably still would be a productive major league first baseman. Not a 40 home run guy, but a productive major league first baseman. But they did wait too long. You know, the Carlos Ruiz contract was too much. The Chase Utley contract was probably too much, although Chase is doing fine in a limited role.
Yeah.
I mean, you run that risk. I would think the Giants are close to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brandon Crawford's still an outstanding shortstop. He can still pick it. His numbers aren't great offensively, but he can still pick it. I still would want him on my team, on a championship team. But there are others I think you can say that about, probably.
Okay.
Boy, Tom McCarthy with us. Great to have Tom out here. You look at the East, and of course you saw Washington, you know what they've got, but they put this 10-day DL is something else, isn't
amazing.
It
amazing.
It's like going out for lunch.
Yep.
They put a guy now,
skip a spot.
Really, Scherzer went on the 10-day and his neck hurt. You have Strasburg now coming back off the 10-day DL. You've got Gio. We got the Marlins situation. You got the Mets situation. Granderson is now gone in the Dodgers. Jay Bruce is in Cleveland. You got the Phillies. You got Atlanta bringing up guys right and left, and I thought Atlanta made a jump forward a little bit with their guys this year. This National League East is kind of interesting, I think.
Well, it is, and I think it's – I don't want to say that in the future it's wide open because, obviously, the Nationals still have Harper for a couple more years. Zimmerman's playing at the top of his game, and that pitching staff is very difficult to counter. It really is. And I think that's where it all starts. I think you have to counter that pitching staff. If you're going to contend in the National League East, you have to have the same caliber of pitchers going up against a Max Scherzer. Strasburg, I mean, he's a very good pitcher when he's healthy, but he just hasn't been healthy. But to me, that's where it has to start. It has to start with pitching. And I guess that's part of the concern with the Phillies is that these guys are so young that Aaron Nola is probably the ace of the staff right now. And moving forward, you know, how many of these young guys will be part of the future? I don't know that answer. I really don't.
How about the guy today? Let's talk about Eichhoff today.
I love him.
Yeah, his numbers, and looking at his numbers just briefly, you know, innings pitched to hits, kind of almost very similar. He's got a lot of strikeouts, good walk-to-strikeout ratio. Not a ton of home runs, but he's given up a few on the road. But what do you think of Eichhoff? Because he came over in the Hamels trade.
He did, and he was – I don't want to say he was a throw-in into the trade, but the keys to the trade were Alfaro, who's playing first base today, who is our catcher of the future. And probably Jake Thompson, who's really struggling right now in AAA. He was probably the pitcher that was most notable coming over. But Eichhoff's done a nice job. His velocity is not where it was last year. I do think he had a shoulder issue, back shoulder issue, that put him on the disabled list earlier this season. I think there's still something there hampering the velocity. So when you see him today, he's 88, 89. But his curveball is one of the best curveballs in baseball when it's on. He and Aaron Nola have just an outstanding curveball. And I love his work ethic. I think he is going to be part of this rotation moving forward in some way.
Tom McCarthy joins Marty and Pat. We're out here at the Public House. And just to get nostalgic with you a little bit here, I listen to Tony Bruno's great friend. He'd come on KNBR airwaves a lot. And I listen to a lot of Mikey Miz over at the Fanatic. But because of listening to those guys for all these years, Darren Dutch Dalton was somebody that they revered as a huge member of the Philadelphia baseball community. And we lost him. What, about 10 days ago or something like that? And I wonder if you could just speak to Dutch Dalton. Very unique character. I mean, just a ladies' man in his day and part of some great baseball teams.
Well, and I think the one thing that stands out, you know, there is, as we have seen over the last several months and all over the last several years, there is a lack of leadership all around, not only in baseball but just in life in general. And he was the ultimate leader when it came to baseball. He led not only by example, but he led also by voice. And for that, the Philly fans will always embrace him. There's a certain caliber of athlete that a Philadelphia Phillies fan or any fan will embrace. And he had all those attributes. You know, there was a lot of great ceremonies last week. We were supposed to honor Pete Rose last week at the ballpark, but because of his issues off the field, again, they had to pull that induction into the Wall of Fame. So instead, the Phillies honored Dallas Green, Jim Bunning, and Darren Dalton. And the ceremonies all weekend were just incredible. And to see the tears in the eyes of those 93 players, I mean, true tears. I mean, as we get older, we all get more emotional. But the true tears because he was the guy. He was the leader of that team. And it was sad because you've watched this mountain of a man diminished physically over the last several years because of the brain cancer, and that was hard to watch. When you saw him, he would hug the stuffing out of you. He literally would hug the stuffing out of you, and he would kiss you on the cheek when he left, and he would tell you that he loved you before he left too. You know, he had some issues off the field. There's no doubt about that, but just a truly good human being with a great heart.
Wow. Boy, nice Thank you, Tom McCarthy. Very nice. I'm glad that you could say those words about Dutch Dalton. Very good. Issues in baseball. We got issues. All of a sudden, baseball, it's not just playing in the field. You got everything going on. Today, the umpires are now wearing white wristbands in protest to all the criticism they've been getting. And Rob Manfred, I guess, came to their aid a little bit this week by saying robo-umps, not in the future.
Yeah.
But now Angel Hernandez got into a Kinsler, Joe West and all that. What's your take on that?
Well, I always think that the public criticism of umpires is probably off base in my eyes. If you have an issue with an umpire, tell the umpire. or let Major League Baseball know. To me, you know, there's always the ability to voice an opinion, which is what Ian Kinsler did about Angel Hernandez. It's what Joe West did about Adrian Beltre. So, you know, if you're going to suspend one, you know, what about the other? That type of thing. I just think that sometimes, even from a player standpoint, even from an umpire standpoint, I think that sometimes you have to, you know, you have to keep it on the field and not put it in the public as much as it's been put in the public. I had no problem with what Joe West said about Adrian Beltre because I think everybody knows that Adrian Beltre and a lot of other players complain about every pitch. To suspend him for that, I don't know if that was appropriate, but, you know, it's not my call to do it.
Yeah, that is Adrian Beltre. As they say, you know what the grapes said when they got stepped on?
What'd they say, Marty?
They didn't say anything. They just whined.
Not bad.
All right. I heard it yesterday in the elevator. Okay. You know, but that's Beltre. He whined about everything.
He did, you know, and umpire, you know, umpires are going to get even...
I'm a funny guy.
You are.
Umpires are going to get criticized more and more because of technology that's going on. You know, we see it. I think the strike zone, I think they're missing a lot of pitches this year, and I probably didn't think it in previous years because we didn't have PitchCast on our telecast. We didn't have Baseball Savant marking every single strike, every single ball. I think it's a great website to see it. You know, but I have certain feelings about what should be done as far as the strike zone goes and things like that. But from this standpoint, I mean, they can wear the white wristbands. I just think that this stuff has to be kept outside the newspaper.
It's so weird. I mean, and with all due respect to our friend Ed Montague, who's definitely, you know, he's the dean of umps or whatever, putting on white wristbands kind of violates their ethos to stay out of the public spotlight.
Well,
just part of your gig is to be beat up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is part of it that you are going to get criticism
from the
players, from the coaches.
They want support.
They want support.
That's what they want. They want support from MLB. That's what they want. Eddie was different, and Eddie's not here this weekend.
Yeah.
I think he's up in Reno.
Okay.
But Eddie would do what Tom said. He would say, all right, you got a problem? Come on.
Yeah.
Let's deal with it right now.
No,
that's
totally
the way
agree.
Eddie would do it.
I totally agree that that's the way it should be, but, you know.
All right. How good are the Dodgers? Curtis Granderson, they're starting to make the little moves now. You know, say, okay, we need a platoon here. We need a lefty to get this guy out. If we face Harper, we got to have this guy to get Harper out. Is it a blessing or a curse, 116, that number that they may come close to?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting if they do get to it. Yeah. I mean, if they can handle the pressure, because the Mariners obviously couldn't for one reason or another.
Plus, it was 9-11 that year.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's very true. You know, where do they match up against, let's say, the Nationals if they get to the when the postseason rolls around, if they face the Nationals? Where do they match up against the Cubs pitching staff if they face the Cubs? To me, that's going to be the key. They can win all the games they want in the regular season, and they are a very good team.
Yeah.
And Bellinger, we saw him make his debut, and, I mean, his bat speed was incredible. And he's a walkaway rookie of the year. I mean, there's no question about it in the National League. But can that pitching staff, can Alex Wood perform in the postseason the way he's performed in the regular season? Is Clayton Kershaw going to be healthy? I know he threw a bullpen yesterday, but is he going to be healthy? But that's only one guy. How do they match up against the Cubs? How do they match up against the Nationals, pitching-wise, more than anything else?
Yu Darvish, was he the best trade deadline?
Well, he's on the DL now.
He went on
10-day DL today.
Wow, they do that. The Dodgers have more 10-day DL moves than anybody in baseball.
This 10-day DL thing is like, you want to win a trip to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Join our contest, Hawaiian Airlines. We'll send you a round trip to Hawaii. You might as well do that.
Yeah.
You might as well put their names in the hopper and send them out every 10 days.
I thought that. Yeah. I really did think that was the one of the best pickups for the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to win. They're going to win the division in a walk. I mean,
right.
The Giants are 38 games back. I mean, it's, you know, that's not even close to the record for games back.
The Mets 50 or something.
No, it was the Browns. Marlins. The Marlins were 52 games back.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was. We did this thing yesterday about it because I thought 38 would be close.
I would go to the Mets. No, the 40-120.
No.
Ooh, 1962?
Well, I'm sorry. This is since 69, since the divisions.
Okay, since the divisions.
Since the divisions. I should preface that.
Right.
But 52?
Yeah. Incredible.
Well, you know, I've said this before, and I'm glad they're playing better. The Giants are playing better
right
now.
They're having a good month of August.
Yeah. And they have more wins. They're 10-7.
More than July and June.
Exactly. And they're starting to see, we'll talk about it. I want to get your opinion on Tom Moore, Matt Moore for just a second. Mm-hmm. But you want to end sort of on an up note. You
sure.
don't want to be 50 out. You can't make up 50 over the winter.
No.
You know, and it's going to be tough. Now, look, when you get a team that's going to win 116, you win 90, you're 26 out.
Absolutely.
So there is some perspective on the thing, but still, you don't want to be 50 out and try to make that up in 1 year.
You know, we were talking before about whether they've waited, they've gotten too old. I mean, if you go back to the two pitching signings last year, you know, that's where their downfall is.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is, because there's a lot of money, you know, for, I mean, guys that are underperforming, to be honest with you. I mean, Samardzija pitched well the other night, but he ran out of gas in the sixth inning. You know, Cueto's been, you know, obviously
blisters
and off injured. So, you know.
All right, last thing for Tom. Great to have you on. Love having you
strong.
Here.
Appreciate
it's
always a pleasure
me.
Having you here. Pat brought this up when Howard Bryant was on with us just a little while ago. Stanton said, you know, I want to hit 61 and, you know, 62, and I want to break Maris's record. And you are a baseball guy. If he hits 62, where do you put it in perspective?
I think he passes Maris, but I still think even steroids and beyond, I mean, that's not the record for home runs in a season. Believe me, I've gone back and forth with steroids. I have. I mean, do these guys belong in the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. But it is a museum. That's the part of it. There needs to be recognition for that era of baseball in some way, shape, or form. You know, does Pete Rose belong in the Hall of Fame? I mean, probably before these legal issues, some people were starting to lean toward it. But it's not going to happen now because this is probably going to make things worse. So I don't think Stanton will have the home run record. I think the home run record is the home run record, steroids and all. Yeah. But I think we if he does it, then it continues to add to the debate about that era of baseball, which is fine, but it continues to add to that debate. It's why, I mean, let's face it, Bud Selig in the revenue in baseball, I mean, he did great things for the revenue in baseball, interleague, all that other stuff. But, I mean, he was the commissioner overseeing the steroid issue, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a debate that'll go on and on and on forever and ever. I think it'd be great if Stanton does it because he's a young star.
Yeah.
And I think it's great for baseball if he does it because he is a monster to watch. Yeah. I mean, if you ever want to watch somebody take batting practice, I used to watch Dave Kingman take batting practice when I was a kid. Obviously, when McGuire was on steroids, we watched him do it with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, when they take batting practice, sometimes it's even better than watching the game.
It's true. Vladimir Guerrero was another one.
Vladimir Guerrero.
I loved his batting practice.
Yeah.
I used to see him take batting practice here. The park couldn't hold him.
No.
It was like he was hitting fungos.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
it was amazing.
And the debate on steroids and HGH is going to go on and on and on because, you know, I mean, think about the article that came out when Beltre got 3,000 about, you know, the openness of using steroids in the Dominican Republic and the Latin American countries. You know, people are going to debate it forever and ever. I do eventually think that these guys – I think Bonds is going to get in eventually, and that's going to open the door for others, whether it be Roger Clemens or some of the other yahoos that needed to enhance themselves to play the game of baseball.
Yeah, it's going to take time. Rose, in my opinion, he will get in after he's gone.
I would think that –
After he's gone.
I really thought, Marty, that he was going to get in within the next 5 years. I really did. Because I think his Fox gig is helping him.
Awesome.
Just like it's helping A-Rod.
But it's like Leo DeRocher. Right. There's certain people, they don't want him on the dais.
Right.
They don't want him at Cooperstown. They're not going to sell. It's part of what we got into today about the Yawkey Way and all that.
Yeah.
They're not going to celebrate these people. They're not going to celebrate
They're
him,
not.
But you're not going to scrub them from history. And when he's gone, then you can deal with it if you want to. But that's the Leo DeRocher story, and there's been so many like that.
You know, the shame of it is, too, is that, you know, the whole steroids conversation in the Hall of Fame has destroyed any thought of Shoeless Joe Jackson getting into the Hall of Fame, which is another topic of conversation as to whether he should be in or not, too. But
he needed shoes.
Yeah, he needed shoes.
He also needed
some better guidance.
Yeah, the nickname was a bad one. Well, actually, maybe the nickname helped understand that he didn't know what he was doing.
Why is Ty's nickname the preacher?
Because he's a rather religious fellow.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
But he's not very verbal. He's not a great orator.
No, but he is he is sort of known for the chapel and that kind of stuff.
Players Weekend, what's the best Philly Ty nickname going to go on the back of the jersey?
Boy, that's a good question because, I mean, some of them are popped on there, and I'm like, is that really your nickname? You know, Odubel Herrero, they call him the Little Bull, El Torito.
Nice.
So I think that's kind of cool that he is bought into that.
Yeah.
And is like that's it. Good. It's not El Torito on the back of his jersey. It's just Torito.
Okay.
There's a couple others, though, that I looked at. I said, is that really your nickname?
Yeah.
You know, Tommy Joseph is Tojo.
Okay.
Cameron Rupp is Spanish for turkey, whatever that is.
And Pavo. Pavo.
That's it. That's what his
is. Look at you, Marty.
Hey, come on. I like turkey.
Yeah.
I like turkey. I looked at him. I said, why are you a turkey? And he said, well, the Spanish players call me turkey because he walks around with his gut out and his chest back and his rear end out. And it's
funny.
I guess he looks kind of like a turkey.
Well, Philly is lucky to have you.
Thanks,
you're
Marty.
Lucky to have you. It's a pleasure to have you on.
I
very
appreciate
good.
It.
All right, Tommy, thanks so much.
Yep, you got it, guys.
More coming
day.
Up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.